Good morning. It's great to be with you. The preacher at the previous place I was at went a little long. That would be me. And my wife's not in here yet. She was with me there. And I said, I'm so sorry, Elizabeth, but you're going to have to listen to my message twice today. So she'll be in here now. She went to park the car. I think it was mentioned, or not mentioned, I'm not sure. Okay. I only have a few left over, some calendars, and if you want one, these ones are in both in Chinese and English, and then these are just, they're both in Chinese, and then there are just some that are in English as well. So you are welcome to them. No fighting over them, okay? So I don't, you know. No fighting on a Sunday, at least. So you're more than welcome to have them. They are a great way. Even if you don't want it for your house, it's a great way to get the gospel in to someone's home, and you share that with them, and so then they have a verse, and they're very beautiful. So I'm just going to put them down here, and then you can get them after. So I don't have a whole ton. If I can get some more, I'll try. But we should actually probably organize it in the future to maybe get a few more so that we have that. As you can see, my title today. Did I bring up the clicker? I must have not. Sorry about that. As you can see, the title here on my screen is something that I, with the other church that I work with as well, we have started, we always have a theme, and there's two different banners that we put up at the church. The one that's, if I'm preaching, it's over my right shoulder, and the other one is on the left side, and the theme this year is about being awakened, being about revival, about that kind of thing. Now, when you think of revival, what do you think of? Now, some of you, us that go to church, we have our own subculture, we have our own language sometimes, and we apologize for that. Sometimes in Christian churches, just like, you know, if you were on a hockey team, or if you are in some sort of sports, or different communities, you have your own language, right? Engineers, right? They have their own language and stuff that they use, or school teachers, or, you know, and some of us are left scratching our head thinking, what did they just say? And so in church it happens. And so if there's something that we say, or that I say from the pulpit here, that is not understandable to you, please come ask me. I don't mind. It's something that's necessary. And so when we think about the word revival, we think of maybe we think about what we've seen on TV, right? Or a movie. Someone's having a cardiac arrest and they're flatlining, right? And we see the, you know, then pull out those paddles, right? And they just put some, like, I don't know, Vaseline or some sort of liquid on there. And they go, you know, clear, boom. And you see the person, you know, they jump off the, off the bed or off whatever the stretcher. And they're revived, right? And they look, oh yeah, there's the heartbeat again. And so in a sense, revival or awakening is exactly that. Now, there is statistics that show that all the gyms and even probably an upswing in diet plans have increased here from starting January 1st, right? Lots of people throughout the month of January, they're at the gym every day, you know, and or people out jogging, and by the time February or March comes along, they're nowhere to be seen. Why? Because we set goals and we have repurpose and we think about those things. Then those aren't bad. And so as we go into this new year, and by the way, Happy New Year to all of you for 2026, our desire always is that we see God move in our lives. And by virtue of the fact that you're at church, I hope that that's one of your purposes, that you want to see growth in your life personally. A, whether you're not a believer, that you would become a believer. That's what we want. We want you to become a follower of Christ. We want you to get saved, become a Christian, give your heart to Christ, whatever, however you want to put it. We want you not just to be here present in person, which is wonderful, but we want you to have a personal living relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to this earth, died upon the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and you can have a living, growing, fulfilling relationship with God. That's our heart's desire. That is our heart's desire. So, as the title is here, awakening is not only a moment, it's a movement of rekindled purpose. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're going to read some texts, and first of all, I just want to give you a bit of an introduction to begin with. So, many people long for awakening, right? We pray for revival, we pray for renewal. And we pray for spiritual fire sometimes. Often when we think of awakening, we imagine a moment. It could be a powerful service, okay? It could be a service like this. You know, all of a sudden, something awakens in you spiritually. Well, that's a wonderful thing. It could be a deep conviction. Maybe you're reading the Word of God. Maybe there's something that's taken place in your life and you go, I've been living wrong. I want to live right. Maybe there's tears, weeping. That happens. In the Great Welsh Revival, that was one of the things. There would be these old, big, burly miners down, you know, knocking out coal in these mines. And all of a sudden, you know, someone would be witnessing to them and telling them about Christ. They would fall to their knees and repent of their sin. Over 50% of the bars and the taverns closed in some of those places where revivals took place. People started going to church. People started following Jesus. And that's what took place. And so that happens. Sometimes, not only just tears, sometimes there's a clarity of faith. Something becomes clear. You know, we say, the light went on. And that moment, I don't know about you, but I've had those moments and I'm reading something and I go, that's what the word says. That's what it means. You know, sometimes it could be from a sermon that's spoken here from the pulpit. And a preacher gives you an explanation and exposes what the verse actually means and says. And you go, ah, it's an aha moment, as we say in English vernacular. A revival, a renewal, an awakening is like that. Now, what we want to understand is that these moments matter. But Scripture, it also gives us and shows us something that's a bit deeper. Awakening is not only a moment, it is a movement of rekindled purpose in our lives. So if awakening stops at emotion, it fades. You understand that? You see, sometimes we can be emotionally moved. You know, people go to a revival conference or some moment and they go, oh, this was great. Kids go to Bible camp, right? How many of us that have worked at Bible camps, the kids come home on fire for God. Parents are writing us and telling us how excited they are. And 2 months later, the kid has just fallen back into where they are and or were before. And so how do we get from that moment of emotion to the moment that and it really becomes a movement and a process in our lives that is on a daily basis? How do I do that? And if you're hungry for that, you came to the right place. It's not that I have arrived in all of these things myself. I'm still, you know, and this is a challenging message to me. But I hope that it helps us. Just for you, if you want to take notes, that's great. If you want my notes, I can give them to you. I can send them to you via WhatsApp. So you can have that, so you don't have to take pictures or anything like that if you don't want to. So sometimes people do that, take a picture of it, which is very nice and very complimentary, but I can also send it to you so then you avoid all that labor. And so if awakening stops at emotion, it fades. If it becomes a movement, it transforms lives. It can transform families, churches, and even our communities. And that's exactly what many of those revivals did. If you ever want to read about church revivals, you can read about it in the scriptures. Acts chapter 2, we're going to reference that. That's one of the big ones. But there was also, it took place in other parts of the New Testament, but also throughout history. And I'm sure that you've heard about the Hebrides. I don't know if you remember. There was a little island off that a man named Duncan Campbell went, and he started preaching. But they had laid a groundwork of prayer. There were people that were praying. And so I just want you to know that revival doesn't take place until the ground is properly prepared. And so what it is that God challenges us through his word, but he gives us great examples and he gives us great solutions. Let's look at those. So awakening also, it begins with a moment. It begins with a moment. So awakening does begin with a moment. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, and I want you to turn there. Now this is the actual verse. So the actual verse of 14, but I want to read it in the context that it's found in. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, what is the title at the top of the chapter? It's, in my Bible, it says, Walk in Love. So we need to understand it's about our journey, our way that we walk, the way that we move spiritually forward. Let me ask you a question. Have you moved spiritually forward since a year ago when 2025 first started? Ask yourself, have I moved forward? Or have I stayed the same? Or even have I reversed a little bit? I'd say that each one of us can assess it ourselves. I don't need to assess it for you. You don't need to assess for me. But be honest. Be honest with yourself. And so, what does it say? Ephesians 5, if you turn there with me, we've got the verse that we're looking at here. But I want to take a look. Verse 1 says, Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. What does it say? It says, walk in love. Beloved children, walk in love. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice. So it talks about walking in Christ according to what God did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it isn't, you know, there's a lot of people out there in our society that say we need more love. But they want to set aside the sacrifice of Christ. They want to set aside the principles of the Bible. They say, well, we want love on our own terms. The kind of love that really is to do with the people that I like or the people that I think, that think like me. Isn't that true? Here it says, as Christ, and what does the John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world, he gave to all of mankind. It's the same, but the same requirement of living for God and to walk in the ways of God is required. Because we see that from verse 3 on, sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, And it talks about new foolish talk or joking. I'm just jumping through the chapter. I mean, it's given you some pretty clear examples and instruction here. It says in verse 11, it says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful to even speak of these things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper. Awake and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. There was a young boy in the previous service that was in, and I'm preaching all this, and I look over to him, and he's asleep. And I'm thinking, awake, I felt like going over there, but then he was sitting with his dad. And so now I don't see anybody sleeping yet, okay, so give me a little bit of your time, please. I'll put you to sleep. And as we look at this, what does it say? Ephesians 5 says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ, what? He will shine on you. God always gives us solutions. He always says, this is what I will do. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that I love about the Bible. It never leaves you hanging. It never leaves you without solutions. It never leaves you with what's the next step. He always says, and he said, I will shine on you. Now, we can take that to the bank and cash it, because the Word of God says that he will shine on us. It doesn't mean that, tomorrow morning you're going to go to your bank account and go, oh, I got $1 million, right? That'd be nice, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about his love, his blessing, his comfort, his peace that is internal in you. So because you don't have $1 million in the bank, you can still face life the way that he has intended us to do and live. So what we need to understand is that. Now, there's... what we need to do, though, is there's three things. It's a call to awareness. An awakening is a call to awareness. The first thing, awareness of our spiritual condition. What's your spiritual condition? Where are you at spiritually? Be honest. Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus? Have you repented of your sin and believed that Christ died for you? That he was buried and he rose again, and that you want to live for him. We're not holding a gun to your head. We're not telling you you can't walk out that door unless you repent. And that would be ludicrous. It isn't about money. No one's asking you for money. We're inviting you to be aware of what your spiritual condition is. And I'll tell you, we've got good news to tell you. We all want you to become a Christian. Not because God is going to, write me a check or pat me on the back. It's because I know I've proved that God is good. So be aware of your spiritual condition. Awareness of God's holiness. So it's also being aware of who God is and what his principles are. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that. He says, these are the things. He says, walk in love, just like the Lord Jesus gave himself. But these are the things that will bring you down. These are the things that will damage your life. These are the things that will hurt you. These are the things that will take you in the wrong direction. He gives us that awareness of our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you aware? So if you want spiritual awakening in your life, you got to be aware of these things. Now, there's some biblical examples, three of them that I'm going to give you right here. Isaiah chapter 6. We don't have time to go into all of them, but he says, woe is me, my eyes have seen the king. Now, the context, the idea behind that is that I don't know about you. Have you ever seen someone that you kind of like, maybe it's a celebrity, maybe it's an athlete, maybe it's someone who would be in the news. All of a sudden, I remember the one time that I saw Mother Teresa. You know, little Mother Teresa. I was in Albania because she's Albanian of origin. She was still alive then, obviously. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden this van comes along. There's little Mother Teresa. He's sitting in the front. She had a diminutive little woman sitting in a van. It was like, whoa, Mother Teresa. I mean, she was a remarkable woman. Well, here Isaiah says, "Woe is me. My eyes have seen the King." He was talking about God, and he was talking about the transformation. You see, he recognized that when we understand and see God spiritually, when we recognize that He loves us so much and cares for us that He sent His own Son, that He cares about your personal destiny, the destiny of your soul, you can be like Isaiah and says, "Whoa, it's me. My eyes have seen the King." Another part of awareness is what we see in Luke chapter 5, where the apostle Peter, he's in a situation, and all of a sudden he realizes that he's been acting wrongly. And he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Please look it up if you wish to find the context, but it's a moment, it's an epiphany that he has. He says, "I am a sinful man." He was being honest. The prodigal son, Luke 15, what happened there? It says he came to his senses. You know, have you ever come to your senses about something? I've been thinking this way all along. All of a sudden, you're explained something. And the challenge is, change your behavior. Change the way that you think about it. What happened with the prodigal son? He came to his senses. And he could have just sat there. See, he had an awakening. He could have just sat there, kept feeding the pigs, living in poverty. He says, "I can go to my father." He got up and went. So, awakening starts with conviction, repentance, and fresh surrender. Three things that are really important to do: conviction, repentance, and fresh surrender. Oh, you can't see the bottom there, but this is what it says. Awakening, though, that ends here remains incomplete. So you can give lip service. You know, I've met many people who say, "I really do need to change my life." You've probably met them too, right? "I really need to change my life. You know, what you say is good." I've had so many people say that to me after a message. "Oh, what you say is so good. That's fantastic. You know, keep on keeping on." I mean, I meet people that you know, "You're doing good work." But, you know, what's it doing for you? You see, when awakening that just stops at just being convicted, it requires repentance. It requires fresh surrender. Action needs to take place. As I mentioned, the prodigal son, if he had stayed in the quagmire, in the mud, in the dirt of another country, and said, "My dad, he can help me out," but he stays there, he's like the person that says, "I want to change," but doesn't do anything about it. Which one are you? It's a good question, isn't it? Now, awakening rekindles God-given purpose. So true awakening always leads to purpose. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And the context there is that Nehemiah is an individual who has been burdened by the fact that his countrymen and his city and where he's from, because he's sitting in Persia in Babylon, way over there, and he hears that, well, let's read what it says. What does it say? I'm going to have to read it from here because I don't have it up on here. It says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Okay, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision.'" What does that mean? People that were mocking them, saying, you guys have nothing. And I told them of the hand of my God that has been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me, and they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. What happened was he had an opportunity, and the king, I'm not going to get into all the story, but the king of Babylon said, you can go and I'll support you. You can go and rebuild the walls and go and rebuild this city. Become what you wish to become, because God's hand is upon you. And so he had a purpose. You see, if you don't have purpose in life, there's some people, maybe young, don't see too many, but you might be a university student. You got purpose, right? You want to get rid, you know, you want to get through to you know, and graduate. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's some other purpose that you have, some other goal that you have. This was their goal, but there needed to be something that surrounded that. Let's look at what that is. So he says this, but now his true awakening always leads to purpose. Nehemiah's awakening was not just grief over broken walls, it was a call to action. And so when, I think that's what that is at the bottom there. So when God awakens his people, this is what happens. Sleeping faith becomes active faith. Okay? What's sleeping faith? Dormant. That's not moving forward. That's stagnant. Lazy. We can describe it, right? I mean, if you're a person that says, I have faith that I can get a job, you know, based on my skills, based on my preparation, and I have faith. But you sit at home, you don't send out resumes, you don't go knocking on doors, you don't go online. Well, that's sort of, you can give lip service, that's active, that's sleeping faith. Active faith is when you get up and go. And you say, here's my resume. They're not giving you the job right away, but at least you're putting something to it. Remember the prodigal son when he got up? Okay, he said, my dad is wealthy, and I'm gonna repent, I'm gonna do something about it. But what does he do? He has to get up and go. There's a journey that he had to make. So broken hearts become burdened hearts, and conviction becomes commission. Let's not go to that second part yet. But broken hearts become burdened hearts. What does that mean? Well, have you ever had a broken heart for something or someone? A situation. What do? You hear about someone who's going through a rough time. You know, quite often, my wife Elizabeth, she'll hear of something that someone's going through, or whatever, and she'll say, we should really make a meal for them. So we sit there and look at the food? No, she gets up, she makes something, she gets in the car, and she goes and hands it to them. You see, when people are broken, it should, when we're broken for any given situation, it should burden our hearts, which leads us to action. Conviction becomes commission. That means that when we're convicted about something, we commit ourselves to being involved and being engaged. And so there's some questions, though, that awakening brings. Why has God placed me here? What has been broken? And how does he want me to help rebuild? That's exactly what happened in Nehemiah. He says, what's broken? The gates are broken. They're burned down. The walls are knocked down. He says, I have purpose. And who is he calling me to serve? You know, there might be something here at Heather Bible Chapel that you can get engaged with and help and serve. You know, you can talk to Ken and say, hey, you know, I'd like to do something, help out. Now, obviously, if you're just fairly new here, it's not about giving you a job. It's we want you to learn. We want you to learn things and become engaged. But if you've been here a while, you're not getting involved in service, you've got to question yourself. You know, you want to be awakened. You want spiritual revival. Don't come sit on a Sunday. Excuse me, I'm going to say this. Don't come sit on a Sunday, warm the bench, and say, come on, pastor, bless me. You know, say the nice things. Oh, yeah, you get out of here and you don't do anything. God wants us to be awakened. Revival begins in our own hearts on a personal basis. Who is he calling us to serve? You know, whatever it might be. Maybe there's something that you can do that Anvil Island, serving there. Maybe it's, there's lots of things. Anvil Island, it's amazing. We have work weeks that go up. The month of October and the month of April. Maybe God is calling you to that. Maybe you have a skill. Maybe you say, oh, I don't have a skill. Well, can you paint? You can paint. Go up and paint. You know, there's lots of things that you can do. It isn't meaning, you know, the service, this is one part of service, what I do. And that's because of the gifting that God has given me, and I have to be obedient to that. I'll tell you, there's sometimes every time I get up here, I get nervous. It's by the grace of God. And each one of us have purposes to fulfill and work to do. So awakening reminds us that you're not saved only from sin, but you're saved for God's mission. It says it right there on the bottom. I'm sorry, it's hidden. I don't know why it doesn't fill. Let me repeat that. Awakening. I got to find it again, sorry. You're not only saved, you're saved not only from sin, but for God's mission. And God's mission is that we reach the people with the gospel, that we serve the widow and the orphaned, that we show kindness to those that need it. And we do it with a loving and compassionate heart. Now, awakening can grow into a movement beyond the individual. What does that mean? Well, we're not going to read it, but Acts chapter 2. If you go over to Acts chapter 2, we'll just peruse it. What does Acts chapter 2 say? It was a very unique event that took place. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it was the day of Pentecost. And they were all together in one place, verse 1 says, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was a unique event. It was the coming of the Spirit of God. Jesus had promised the Spirit coming 40 days after Pentecost. An amazing, incredible event took place. And people started speaking in languages that they had never learned or been trained in. And they were able to speak of the glories of God. They were able to speak about the goodness of God. And people were going, what is this? People from all over the world would come to Jerusalem because it was a religious center. It was a center of commerce. It was a center of, but specifically, a spiritual place. And they would come and they hear people speaking in other languages, glorifying God. You say, wow. It started with 120 people. Thousands of people became followers of Christ. It resulted in them being transformed. It reshaped the city of Jerusalem. It became the early church. It became a place that people were convicted, saved, and baptized. So what followed? Where there was a devotion to teaching. If you read Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, you'll see that they became devoted to teaching. But it tells us how they became radically generous. How do we know that? Well, look what chapter 2 says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's what took place. There was an awakening. We see that. But what happened? There was a devotion to teaching. There was radical generosity. There was bold witness. They didn't care. They just boldly witnessed it. They told people about what God had done in their lives. They told them about Jesus who had come. You actually crucified him. Remember that? Remember that? And some people, oh yeah. Because maybe not everybody went to Calvary, to the cross. But maybe they heard of Jesus and knew of Jesus. But there was also daily obedience. We see how disobedience was judged a little bit later on in pretty radical ways. An amazing thing took place. So what happens in movements that are, what are they marked by? Well, changed priorities, changed relationships, and changed use of time and resources. That's how an awakening takes place. And so the Spirit did not just fall to be felt. The Spirit fell to be followed. Let me repeat that. The Spirit did not fall just to be felt, but to be followed. It wasn't something that God just said, I'm going to give this to you and, you know, it's there. There was a response required. Now, the fourth point that I want to make is that a movement requires ongoing surrender. So in the scriptures, we talk about a thing called the doctrine of sanctification. It's a teaching about how we, on a daily basis, grow. You know, we don't say to people, great, come join our church, get baptized, and that's it. Some people do that. They think, well, it's sort of like life insurance, right? You buy it just in case. You know, no, being a Christian is not just in case. I want to be on the right side of God. Well, you know, that's not what God is asking you to. He's inviting you to a life with him. He's inviting you to be a part of his family. And what happens when you're part of a family? All of us that are parents, what do we say to our children? You know, we say, no, you have to, these are the things we do. You get up and take your food, your plate that's done, and you put it into the sink. You know, those are the rules of the house. You know, the kid that disobeys it, we, you know, clean up your room. Those are basic things, right? Well, we're part of a family. That's being obedient. God gives us instructions, and he asks us to be obedient. And through obedience, we can do that. Romans 12 and 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, present your bodies holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Now, this is talking to a believer, a person who's following Christ, okay? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This is that is a believer, and you say, this is how I'm fed, okay? And so what are you feeding on? I was mentioning this morning, if you're listening to podcasts with lots of cursing in them, which happens a lot, right? Especially sports podcasts or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with listening to stuff, but I can guarantee you that, you know, there's lots of cursing, or you're watching a lot of stuff with lots of cursing, that's going to come out. Even in the way that we think, maybe we don't verbalize it, but it's going to go through our minds when we react to a certain situation. And now at work, you can't control that, but you can control your own private time. It says, the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Because when we get rid of the garbage, we're able to discern the purposes of God in our lives, the will of God in our lives. So as we do that, what's required? Well, daily surrender, renewed thinking, willing obedience. Three things that are required. Daily surrender, renewed thinking, willing obedience. The danger is to remember revival rather than live renewed. Let me explain that. See, we can remember wonderful moments in our lives. I was a missionary in Albania, and I'll tell you, I went to Africa. I went to lots of different places. But if I stayed in that part of my life only and didn't grow from there or didn't have new spiritual experiences with God, I'd be living on those memories. Oh, God was so good back then. But what's he doing now? You know, we see that with Hollywood celebrities, right? We read about some Hollywood celebrity that they find them in abject poverty as they die. Why? Well, they didn't continue on and they lived in their memories. Even athletes, you know, guys that were star hockey players at 20 years of age, at 50 and 60, they're all washed up. That's why some people even take their own lives, because all they're doing is living in the past. And it says here, what does it say? The danger is to remember revival, you know, but what we have to do is live in renewal. When Heather Chapel first started out, it was 1964 when it started here, correct? Now, they had moved from another church. They have a balcony, or we have a balcony. The church was full, right? Often the balcony was full. Had people. There was overflow. Am I right, Joanne? Yeah. Now, Joanne, I'm asking her, but she's not coming up to you and go, oh, it was so awesome back then. She can say that, but she doesn't live in that. She says, how can we teach people and reach people for Christ? And that's one of the things that I appreciate about Joanne, is that she's often looking and saying, how can we, we have wonderful and fond memories of her parents and a whole generation of people that we know that built this place and they saw God move. But we're in the here and now. Let's live with those goals and that purpose today for the future. We draw the memories of the past to feed what we're going to do in the future. So, how do we do that? Well, ask yourself, am I still responding to what God has awakened in me? Are you still as excited about your salvation as you were the day that you became a Christian or that you saw God move in your life? Has my life changed or only my emotions? And is my faith moving outward? You got to ask yourself those questions. But has my life changed or only my emotions? We have to move forward. As we close, awakening today, what does it look like? Well, an awakened church, how does that look like? Loves holiness more than comforts. Ooh, I don't know, I like my comforts. we value obedience over applause. We choose mission over just the maintenance of the church. Got to pay the bills, got to make sure that the roof is okay. All those things are good, you know. Got to keep up the appearances. And don't get me wrong, you know, to my brothers who work hard to make sure this place runs well. There's, you know, it's not unspiritual work. But I know their hearts are for reaching people for Christ. They pray that these moments will be the ones that you will come to know Christ. The maintenance is done with the purpose of reaching others. See, that's what true awakening is about. True purpose. How about personally, an awakened believer? We pray with expectancy. So praying that God will move with faith. We serve with purpose and we live on mission from Monday to Saturday, just not on Sunday, okay? During the week, live on mission. Live with that, that heart and mind that you're going to witness to someone at work or show a kind and compassionate word or whatever it is that allows you to grow in your faith. And finally, awakening here does not ask, how did that service make me feel? I hope you feel encouraged today. I hope you feel challenged today. You know, and if you do, great. You can even tell me. But you know, what this says, it asks, how is God sending me differently? How is he going to use me differently? I should have put that instead of sending me. I should have said using me. It's sending too, but using you in a different way. So, as we think about this, awakening does not ask, how did that service make me feel? It asks, how is God sending me differently? So from moment to movement, awakening begins in a moment, but it lives as a movement. God is not only waking us up, he is sending us out. When we go out of here on a Sunday, I hope that we're going to our neighbors and our friends and people that we know and saying, hey, this is really important. I want you to hear about Christ. Or how can I pray for you? That's a wonderful opening line with people. You'd be surprised at the amount of people that say, pray for me? Yeah, like what's going on in your life? I'll pray for you. How should we pray? Right there. Lord, awaken us. Not just to feel your presence, but to live your purpose. Turn moments of conviction into moments or movements of obedience. Revive us and then send us. It begins with you and me. And I encourage you. Let's pray. Father, as this prayer has said, Lord, awaken us. Myself included. Lord, all of us, we need that. Not just to feel your presence, but to live your purpose out. Help us to turn these movements or these moments of conviction. Even we might even be convicted today. Use it into bringing movements of obedience in our lives. And Lord, revive me. Revive each person here. And Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you in a personal way, they do not know the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe they don't know how to do it. Help us to help them. Lord, maybe there's someone that knows how to do it. And all you have to do is just say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to save my soul as I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I want to live for you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and give you peace today and awaken you today and for the days to come.